This podcast contains adult themes, language, and situations. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Yours is a cage, but it has, by the looks of it, metal rings and then leather straps.
So that is not a that's permanent wear.
No, that's not a permanent wear. No, it is
just for play. So there's two different sections of chastity devices. Well, three, because then there's the whole chastity never unlock side of things, which is a little bit more so.
But cool. Anyways, let's get into the episode, shall we?
Yes.
Okay. Well, hello and welcome to Off Leash, a definitely not safe for work podcast about all things puppy and consensual sexual play. I am Barely Normal, and with me is...
And I am Canes.
And I'm Dowson.
And this week's primary topic is cock cages, how to shop for them, how to measure yourself or your pup for one, and how to safely use them. We will be discussing the various types and the importance of safety and sanitation. And as part of this podcast, this is actually being recorded by video, and we will be measuring Dawson's attachment for a cock cage.
Huff.
So, you will probably only get to see that on OnlyFans, as YouTube will not allow us to post that kind of thing on there, even if I put for educational purposes on the click.
I don't think they will,
but we'll give it a shot. It'll be banned. I'll be banned for life. That's, it's like you can't.
I hear Twitter has subscriptions now. So,
there you go.
Twitter might be the place to put it. But anyway, so let's talk about different styles of cages first.
Okay.
Because that's going to differentiate what we talk about on this. So we're going to be talking about the side of chastity cages that you're wearing to train for like locked all the time.
Okay.
Instead of just a one-time play session.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's different kinds.
So Barely's would be a one-time play.
Right.
Session.
So this one right here that I'm holding up to the camera now is a one-time play session type cock.
Yes, that so looks like I would love to have a suction cup in there on my balls and then have a weight hung by the tip there.
There you go. Yeah.
But that's a different episode.
But see, we could actually put the leash on there on the tip and just lead you around by your cock.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Right, because your balls would still... Ooh.
Yeah.
Bye.
So... With the other kind, I'm going to show this one. So with these, a lot of times, the actual balls go like in between these this section right here.
Right.
And then your shaft is in the inside, right? And it's all locked through this guy. There's actually a...
Right.
Looks like this.
Now, it's important to put the cock ring, the ring part, around your balls first before you try and put your member through the front part, because it will not work the other way. And you have to be soft. I've tried to put on a cock ring around my cock and balls when I'm hard, and it does not work.
Yeah, so. Especially if you're using these. Like, this is some, like, trying to get this
that
on.
That looks like a torture device.
This was the worst $60 I ever spent.
Mm.
Lock the cock. Looks, we're gonna have a talk.
Looks.
Okay. That kind of looked like a. What was that?
That's what it is. Is that this comes into here? There's a hinge here. So then this is the ring. So it comes into here, and then basically what you.
Oh, it's like a ratchet.
Yeah,
like
so
handcuffs.
It comes into here. Yeah, like handcuffs.
Yeah.
And basically, you fall the hole, and then this is the key. So once you put it in.
Okay.
You'll stick that there, and then this there, which locks it, and then you put the lock on top, and then the middle black bar here.
Oh, okay, cool.
Didn't fucking work though.
There is a bunch of different styles.
This one's also Eastim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there is a bunch of different styles of cages. You get what you pay for in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
I have purchased and friends have purchased things from Etsy and whatnot. Mm-hmm. There's a few and far between cages on Etsy's that I would suggest, but you just want to make sure that you're not getting a cage that has like a seam in the middle of it. So sometimes they will have a seam right down the middle of this part.
Oh, because they were two pieces and they glued together when they manufactured.
Yes. So they glue them together. The problem with that is if you strain the cage, you'll break it apart. Oh. And then you have like things all over the place.
I was more thinking that the edge would
cut you.
Well, yeah, that too. Some edges are not actually that great. So like the thing with these types of cages, sometimes there's a there'll be like a seam right in the middle of the ring that's not really all the way shaven down. So if you do have something like that, you can actually take like fine grit sandpaper and some water and just kind of like, you know, rub it to make sure that it's kind of like as smooth as you can get if you're getting some irritation there.
Yes. And don't do it while you're wearing it.
Don't do it while you're wearing it. Oh, no.
I mean, unless it's you're locked and you're not the key holder and it's irritating you and you know that that's what it is, you might be able to get enough space in there to sand it down a little bit.
Okay, so also...
Two-finger rule, technically you should be able to.
You are putting on rings, the rule of thumb, too, is you want to be able to put two fingers... inside the actual base ring, even after you have it on.
Okay.
And yes, it's going to be a little tight to do that, but you want to be able to put at least the fingertips inside of it. And the reason why is because you're going to push your skin, but basically you want it to be able to move. The cage is not so tight on you that you're cutting off circulation. Mm-hmm. You want it to be able to move as you're growing basically inside the cage. Mm-hmm. So like think of like a, like it's not supposed to force you to like never get hard. Like
that's what the ones with the spikes are for.
That's really scary for me.
And then there's also ones that have, sounding rods that go down the center when you put it on too. So.
Yes. Yeah.
And did you, so my dyslexic ass, when I was reading the notes earlier, all of a sudden I was looking at the two finger rule, but my dyslexic ass looked at the first exclamation mark and saw it as an R. So all of a sudden I was yelling at Marcus. I'm like, what the hell is a two finger ruler? I've never heard of a two finger ruler before. Is this some kind of American thing? What the fuck?
No, rule.
And then all of a sudden I go out and we're like trying to figure out. I'm like, what the hell? I don't understand. I come back, sit back down, look at it again. I'm like, oh, that's an exclamation mark. Never mind. Yes. But yeah, some of them have sounding. Mine, like I said, had the E stem because I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sad that this one, I basically paid $60 for the E stem machine. This was like $2 probably.
Yeah. So, okay.
So when you're putting it on, we can talk about that for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I put on cage, when I do it or when I used to do it, and what other pups that I know have done, in the past is, they basically will shave, down there or get waxed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we'll take a hot shower, and then either while they're in the shower or after the shower, they will either use the soap that they're using for like their body wash to, like put on the device, or they will, use some sort of lube or like a cream, that can basically be absorbed into the skin. So like water-based lube or, you know, like a lotion, especially if you like are shaving after like before and then like aftershave, like to prevent, not like not aftershave for your face,
right?
Like a skin safe formula for down there. Yes. In the private parts. Yeah. Do not put aftershave on your balls after you shave them.
No, that will hurt a lot.
In
fact, there's a company called Manscaped out there. They actually have lotion for your balls and your cock. So
yes. Yeah. So something like that where you can use to put the cage on.
And Manscaped, if in the future you want to see my balls semi as smooth as they are now, I did use your razor. So if you want to sponsor the next cock cage fitting, by all means,
we will make sure
that our shaft is as smooth as our balls are, because we will tone that shit up and use all the deodorant that we can.
Mm-hmm. I love they call it crop preserver. I have some.
It smells really good. I'm not gonna lie,
it does smell
like,
really
I don't
good.
Know if it's just because I'm like over 30 now, but like that musky.
Manscaper. Anyway,
so you're talking about putting the cock ring on.
Yes.
So how would we, like, before we get the cock ring on, how would we know? So you said the two-finger rule, but how is that the two-finger rule? Like, is that like,
well, if you're talking about measuring, that's basically what you have to do first, is you have to get a measurement of what your size is. And so they, most of the time they go by circumference. Mm-hmm. So like, it'll be like 1¾ inch, or 1 and something or 2 or something
and,
type of
and
thing.
We're talking the ring size at the base of your balls, ring size. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you have to basically measure around your underneath your balls, mm-hmm. and then all the way to the top of your shaft,
right?
Basically, and you all just around. What I found to work best for people that aren't necessarily going to go to Mr. S or a sex shop to get fitted, mm-hmm. for them, is that they have a string and you go around and you basically make it semi loose. Mm-hmm. don't go really tight on your actual like measurements. And then, like, get a small cage that you can't even ever fit, mm-hmm. in.
Cuts it off like a skin tag.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't cut it off like a skin tag.
And I have to say also, you need to consider your ball size, because if your balls are bigger circumference wise than the circumference that you measure, you're never going to get them through that ring. So.
A lot of times, so like for me, I have low hanging balls. Mm-hmm. I have to get one ball in at a time. Mm-hmm. So when you're doing it, you have to push each ball in, mm-hmm. and then you get it kind of up, and then your dick is like going like, mm-hmm. this, and then you have to push it and go bloop, mm-hmm. and it goes like inside the ring. So everything's all in there.
It's like a little octopusy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you want to make sure that you put the lock side up and facing out.
Yes, that's yes. This is very important, because you don't know how many times I personally have done it where I go like this, or it's like this.
And you went, shit.
Yeah. Well, at least if it's upside down, you can like,
No. It's going to be a tight fit. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, yes, you can put lube on it and then like start spinning it around. Yes, you can do that, mm-hmm. but it's just better not to. And then once you do that, so putting on the actual like cage part, the actual like dick covering part, mm-hmm. of it, it can be a little tricky for people. So like for me, I'm uncut. So it was a little bit difficult for me to get used to doing it until I did it like numerous times. Mm-hmm. So what I found for myself is I push it in like a belly button. So like basically I take my dick and I shove it into itself,
right,
as much as I can. And then I basically put this on, and then it shoots out, yep. into the actual cage.
And anybody that says they've never pushed their dick back up into their skin is a liar. Everyone's do done that.
You put it in 100%. There and it makes it look like it's a little like a kangaroo. You put it into there and bring your balls up and over. Right. And then all of a sudden you let pouch. It go a little bit and you're like, peekaboo.
Yep. There you go. That's it.
Right. And now all I'm thinking is on top of that is Kane's like putting his dick into the cage, but because he's uncut, like I would be like threading the needle straight through. Mm-hmm. But Kane's is like, when you try to fucking put the needle through, but you forgot to lick the tip, so it's all frayed. So you get like part of it through the tip, and then you have to like pull the rest through and push the other little parts through to get it all the way through, and then you finally get the rest.
Yeah, yeah. Now I've seen Kane's dick, and I've seen him do this, and it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been to the beach and seen gooey ducks, the clams. It's kind of what it looks like coming out. It's just this like. Tough crowd.
But so no, that's actually really funny.
I don't know what gooey ducks duck. Are.
Well, you'll have to look it up online later.
Oh no.
So another way that some people have done it too is they'll put like a condom on and then get like the get basically the little tip, they'll leave slack on it, right? And they'll basically put it right here, and then they'll put it on, and then as they're slipping it on, they'll actually pull the condom to actually get their dick further in, so it slides in more. And so by the time that they're fully on, then they just pull the condom off fully.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry, I was too distracted by.
By what Barely's doing.
By Barely's new microphone cover.
Whoop. All right. Sorry. Okay, so you've got the ring on, you've got the cock cage on, and now what? Can you play? Can you have sex? Can you come?
I mean, it depends on how experienced you are with it. More than likely, once it's locked on you, you're probably not going to get hard. Actually, you might get hard, but don't be afraid of getting hard. It's basically going to just be a gentle reminder that, hey, there's a cage there. That's right. I'm not able to touch myself. Mm-hmm. For chastity devices themselves, people have the misconception that, I'm not allowed to come ever. Mm-hmm. And that's not true.
That's just
you're
what the
able
side effects
to,
say.
You're literally able to come through the cages in numerous amount of ways. The idea of chastity for me is I'm just not allowed to touch my dick whenever I want anymore. It's locked up for someone else.
Ah, yes.
Doesn't necessarily mean that I cannot get off.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's what a massager is for.
Yes, it is exactly what. Magic wands are your friend.
Okay, so once you've got the cage on, now what?
That's it.
Pop and lock.
Yeah.
So just, do you have you ever given we have keys so we can like lock ourselves up, but have you ever given your key away to somebody and they've like taken off with it? So, or do you like hold it in? Like, I know, I can't remember if I'm pretty sure it was you that was talking about having it in a timed, or somebody was having it in a timed lock box. So the key to their cage would be in a box that automatically locks. And then what they can do is remotely unlock it to get whatever they need out of it.
So there is key training is what it's called and
I think Mr. S does it too. No,
yes they do. You can literally send Mr. S a key and go keep this for a set amount of time, and they will just ship it right back to you
really
at that set of time. Yes,
wow.
But You cannot get it back earlier until then.
Yeah, there is no negotiations. If like all of a sudden you're like you have to go through the like your uncle's dying and you need to go through the airport, motherfucker, you driving? that you got some explaining to do.
Yeah,
I will say though, airport security, they kind of have seen it all before. Mm-hmm. They know what chastity devices are, and if they do go off, they are usually pretty kind about it. They're like, okay, go continue. You might have to show them that it's a cage, but
half the TSA agents are secretly just working security at half the fucking cons in the country. That's what they just do on their weekends, is just work cons. They go from airport security to con security, and that's it.
Yeah. But you're only going to have that problem with a metal cage. A plastic cage is not going to set that off.
So a cobra cage or a holy trainer is not going to set it off.
Well, I'm assuming that's why you have your travel tags. So you have your locks, but then you can also get, instead of the lock, it's like a travel tag that's numbered.
Mm-hmm.
So you know which number you have. So if you were to take it off and put it back on, it would be another number.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times the Mr. S actually, or most of the cages that I have used, it's copper.
Mm-hmm.
It's not actually metal. I don't know why, but it's just a soft metal
type of thing. It's a soft metal.
It's going to look like something exploded in your colon on the way down on the way through the X-ray.
But copper doesn't corrode.
Yes.
So that's part of the reason, because you're in an area that has a lot of corrosive materials around it.
Moisture.
I mean, you've got sweat, you've got salt, you've got urine, you've got cum. All that stuff can be corrosive.
No, that's oxidized. Never mind.
Yeah. Oxidation is different.
Not oxidized.
Yeah. I thought doesn't it turn green over time?
Yeah,
how come our parliament building's roofs are all green?
Yes, oxidation is different than corrosion or rust.
Okay. This one is not, but I've had this lock for a pretty long time. Mm-hmm.
But keeping on that, because it's going to be in an area that is prone to that, and going back to our whole Etsy thing,
mm-hmm.
please, guys, don't like go on Wish and get like a light pink or blue cage with like lead fucking paint on it.
Right.
Like,
yes. Like,
this is anything that has to do with keeping it on your body for more than 24 hours or for a prolonged period of time. Please make sure that, again, don't go cheap with it. Make sure like it's the same thing as sounding and everything. Make sure it's at least medical grade. Make sure you're getting the good shit.
Right. Exactly. I mean, how many of you have got a cheap ring at some Ren fair or something, and 3 days later you've got this green ring around your finger from the ring. It's like, that's what I'm talking about. That's your body oils and stuff will cause things to corrode. So that's why copper is important.
Sorry, my puppy brain actually finally caught up to what you were asking before.
Yes, I knew it would.
When you actually are wearing the cage, what are some tips and tricks how to actually wear it and, you know, stuff like that? Okay. My puppy brain caught up.
I swear I love you, Canes.
It caught up eventually. So basically when you are wearing a cage, like, you want to support it. You want to try to make sure that
it's a good cage. It's a good cage. You're a good cage. Yes. Supportive. Be supportive.
Pet it a little bit. Pet it a little bit so you get hard and then strain in the cage. Yes. Yeah. So that's the. So you want to support it. Jock straps, like compression shorts are really, really good. You want something that has a pocket in it for the actual cage.
My underwear doesn't have pockets. What are you talking about?
Mine does.
No, the pocket for the member.
Yes, I got it now.
Mine has a cigarette lighter on it.
Oh,
pocket.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. So MeUndies, I'm pretty sure that's the way they got away with being able to ship their underwear across the border without having to pay taxes, is because the underwear has a pocket on the side of it. It's technically considered a pant instead of an underwear, so it doesn't get lingerie taxes for over the border shit. So before, I used to get taxed like $20 or so.
Wait a minute. Lingerie taxes?
Yeah, Canada's stupid.
Okay. I was just like, that's the first time I've heard.
Like, yeah, like I've sex toys, lingerie, anything that's like like regular clothes, like basically it's like how like you're not taxed for milk and bread,
right?
But you're taxed on like chips.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the same thing with like clothing in Canada. Is like, you know, like your like regular like shirts and stuff, if you bring it in from the border that you need for shit, that's not taxed. It's a necessity. But if you're bringing over like a hood and like this would be taxed to all shit, like like I said, my hood was $120, but after I paid taxes and duties, it was another $75 on top of that.
Oh, good lord.
So yeah, and then that includes with everything else. So it was like I should have just got a custom one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
yeah,
I'm happy with
so,
it.
Basically,
Keynes' brain
get the pocket with comes with the pocket.
Yes,
actually, there is a couple
because Saks has them
that basically like has a pouch that your dick actually goes into.
Yes.
And yes, those are great. Basically, what you're wanting is some sort of support where the cage doesn't move that much, because as you're like walking and moving. Want it to move as much because that will cause like irritation on your like balls.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the side of the ring. So basically a lot of times this section right here and this section will basically rub your sensitive area of your of your balls like underneath. So just keep in mind that if you do like have like a rash or anything like that, just unlock and let it heal to help prevent it. Wearing again tight underwear or something that's supportive, but also tying a string. So I had a sub do this, and I was very confused. This was years and years ago. They took a binocular support like
strap
that thing,
looking for a word, and try strap
they, yes strap so they literally took that from their binoculars,
okay,
and then used it on their cage and basically wrapped it around like this and then like strapped it to them,
okay,
and
he was like
once I did that I had no issues.
Okay.
And so I literally tell people all the time, if you're having issues with the cage sliding in and out and then causing like rash and stuff like that, tie it to your body closer. So it's like, just like, you know, there. Mm-hmm.
Would chafing cream work?
Oh, yes. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So like any sort of like lubricant. So like, I know some people that like, they actually lube their cage every day. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Keep it well
like
lubed.
That specific part of it, yep. So that it goes in and out and moves, but it doesn't actually cause
right. And you know, it's funny because you can get that kind of lube and stuff at sex shops, but the very same kind of lube that you're looking for that is a lot cheaper at tack shops where you buy horse and riding gear, because cowboys get chafed all the time and they sell huge buckets of chafing cream for cheap because they're going to put it all in the same spot.
That's so interesting.
You don't have to always use things at the sex stop. You can get them elsewhere.
But also that's why we also are saying to make sure that when you do start, you're not putting it on and 3 weeks later taking it off. Like
right.
When you put it on, wear it for an hour. Go yes. Do some chores around the house. Take it off for a bit. Like if you a gauge to see whether or not it's going to be comfortable or uncomfortable for you for a bit is just throw a regular old cock ring on for an hour.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And get feeling of that. And
I could tell you right now, even a metal cock ring that's totally smooth, medical grade, still is going to irritate that part of your body. It's just nature. It's going to irritate, and you're going to have to learn how to do it. Do not get caged and give your key away on the first day. Like Dawson was saying,
please
get
don't.
Used to it, try it out, learn.
Yes.
And you may find that you may have to buy a different base that the one you measured for isn't exactly the right size. You may have gained weight, lost weight. Remember when you're measuring, and we'll do this later, but remember when you're measuring, if you drank a lot that day, you're going to have a lot of water stuff in your body, and your thing is going to be plumper, if you will.
Plumpy. So. Yes, and to that note, like training specifically, like what I tell people is just wear it for the day, for the first day, and take it off at night. Don't try to sleep with it right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Sleeping with it does take a little bit of effort, because you're gonna wake up and you're probably gonna be with the morning wood, and you're gonna be caged, and you're gonna be straining your cage while you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can be really uncomfortable to do, if you're not used to it. So, I would suggest basically taking it one step at a time and taking it slow. Don't rush into it. Definitely just take your time. Something that I have trained pups to do, in the past too is, if they are looking for like a longevity, like, okay, I want to start wearing this 365 days out of the year. Mm-hmm. What you do is you start small and you go, you'll get up to about a week, and then maybe you take it off for a couple days, and then go to a week and a half, and then take it off for a few more days, mm-hmm. and then go to 2 weeks, and then take it off. And you're giving that reward of uncaged that they can play with themselves too. Mm-hmm. Don't just take it off and then don't do anything. Especially if they are your pup, and you're like being a master to them or a key holder.
Mm-hmm.
Then definitely make sure that you're spending that time playing with, their bone when they're uncaged. So that they have a reward,
mm-hmm.
Because when you are uncaged, or when you're caged and then uncaged after a while,
right?
Have you ever like not jerked off for like a week?
For a week,
like not ever, not touch, not like
not for not a week.
Marcus not was actually not laughing when he heard about what tonight's topic was.
Uh huh.
Because since I started my meds, I haven't jerked off or came in 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And we haven't done anything in 3 weeks or anything like that. So he's like, oh, what's the topic? And I'm like, chastity. He looks at me. He's like, that shouldn't be hard for you.
Well, but you're not doing it. But that's not consciously.
No, but when
that's
I blow, motherfucker, I hope I have it ready for OnlyFans. Because y'all better be ready. We're going to find out whether or not we were lying in high school or not, whether you had to fix this right now or it's going to be a problem.
Well, we already know it's not a problem since it's 3 weeks, so.
I mean, I've gone longer.
Yes.
Yeah. But
so, basically,
that was good one. Good one, Dawson. Nice.
Goofy.
Nice.
Scoozy. I like when you do that. That's so cute. When you do get out of the cage, it feels like it's like your first time jerking off.
Okay.
And that's the idea of it. Like the first time jerking off, you're so much more sensitive to everything.
Hmm. Okay.
And that's the kind of draw for the long term type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be a little, so like long term, there will be some shrinkage to your size.
Mm-hmm.
But it does go back. Like if you are uncaged for a while and you're jerking off, a couple days go by, it will turn back to the normal size again. It's just getting the juices flowing again.
So you've heard it here first, everybody. Canes says it and clarifies it that if you do not use it, you do in fact lose it.
Yes, that is.
That's not true.
That is true. No, I'm just kidding. Just,
yeah.
Now, here's another topic because we've been talking about cocks.
Right.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, how about the other end? What about anal chastity?
So, there is anal chastity, yes.
And they're intriguing.
I think that's another topic for another episode.
It is.
Yes.
Like, that's an entire thing, like, whole, like, things, like, that's the thing, is, like, cock cages and chastity. Like, as soon as it said that, I was like, are we talking about the, like, the butt ones, too? Because I was like, okay. But I'm like, do you guys have any experience in that? Because, like, those are intriguing as well, too. So I'm like, if we can come up, and if y'all let us know, if y'all want another episode on that, we'll do it. But yeah, so I was going to see about that.
I do know a couple people that do have the actual, like, belts.
Ooh.
Have you seen the belts that are both sides?
I've seen the belts with both sides. I'm more curious about, like, the little, like, finger grenades that go up there and, like, lock.
Oh, yes.
I want to know how those work. Like, does it just, like, and then you hope that, like, it's just, like, it's like a freaking sloth trying to climb, like, just for dear life.
No, but if you designed it so that it looks like a little somebody coming out of the anus like that, so that when you look at it, it's just this little creature trying to get out. The little alien creature. That's an awesome anal chesty device. The alien critter coming out of your ass.
Coming.
Marketing. Where's our marketing department?
Get them on the phone. Yeah,
get marketing on the phone. We have a great idea.
So something that I did want to touch about too, is the care after, like, you wear it, or you're gonna be peeing on this cage. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say, but you are going to get it very dirty at times.
Yes.
Also, you're gonna want to sit every time you pee. If you are a male, you're going to want to sit on the toilet, mm-hmm, to pee every time.
You don't pee already.
Well, don't try to. Wait, you don't have urinals?
Well, when do I leave my house? This is my job.
Oh, okay. So when there's urinals, don't try to use a urinal to like.
Wait a minute. I stand up in my house to pee. Well, in the bathroom, but not anywhere. But I mean, I stand up to pee in the toilet. I don't sit down to pee.
It's like an extra, like, 35 seconds that I could be scrolling through TikToks and not have to worry about anything.
You pee for 35 seconds? God bless. You got a bladder the size of.
I have shit to do. I don't pee all the time.
Okay.
So when you're wearing a cage, you kind of have to sit and actually pee, which took me a little while to get used to, because I'm so used to going to, like, a urinal, mm-hmm, at work or a trough or whatever, wherever I'm at. And so, yes, we do have troughs that basically people line up at sporting events.
With fucking ice in it, you disgusting peasants.
Yes. The ice is there to keep down the smell.
Well, yes. I will say that I have seen a trough. There was a small one in the Eagle, and that was where a very nice gentleman, if you are listening ever, let me sniff his armpit, and it was very nice.
Yes. Every town that has an Eagle, the Eagle has a trough. I guarantee it. It's just, it's the plan. But
I got to double check when I go to the Black Eagle.
So when you, you know, peeing, obviously, but so when you might think that the cage might be a little smelly or nasty, because again, you have dead skin cells and like
provolone,
you're gonna get the cage dirty,
mm-hmm,
and so obviously shower.
Yes, I was gonna say, the cage. A lot of that could be clean, be solved with showering,
but the inside of the cage cannot, because you're going to be a lot of times in the cage full, like you're mm-hmm, your inside of the cage is not, it's really hard to clean on the inside. It's as you're
kind of like, mm, if you're to, mm, break your arm and have a cast on and you're to still shower with the cast, you're going to clean it and it's going to get like soapy shit in there, but within a couple hours it's going to smell like shit and be moldy.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of your body is going to be clean, but underneath that cast is going to be nasty.
Blow dryers.
That's so what he's
you
for.
You can take baths, which will help a little bit. But if you do find yourself that you need to actually, like, clean the actual cage, you can take it off and then put it back on.
I have a feeling that when you take it off.
But when you're doing it, basically, what I find is there. Get inside of the actual, like, cage.
Why am I picturing you pulling out a toothbrush right now?
Yes, that's
like, toothbrush or a water
motherfucker.
Pick.
Motherfucker.
Yes, toothbrush, water pick, or
those little things that they gave me for the braces.
That's right.
Yeah. Little fucking...
So, it's probably the easiest way to actually clean. We never said
kinky was always sexy, everybody.
Oh, it's not that sexy. But... Can I just say, please do not mix up your toothbrushes. Like, please mark them going, hey, this is my chastity cleaning toothbrush.
Yes. Or, and don't put them next to each other in the bathroom. I mean, don't, you know. Put them
next to each other.
Maybe.
This is where, like, I'm eventually going to realize that I'm a pig at some point because, like, I'm sure that when I go visit Keynes, he's going to be scrubbing me every 20 minutes while I'm down there. He's like, you haven't showered in 3 months, you disgusting fucking puppy. Get in there.
Keynes is very clean. The weekend I spent with him, I think he took seven showers in the 3 days.
I've been noticing that.
Yeah, he's a very clean individual.
I like my morning and afternoon showers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And after sex showers, you took at least two of those. So, yes. I mean, there was one day you took 4 showers, I believe.
Well, that's because he needed to come again.
Yes. Now.
That we have all of that breath of fresh ass knowledge.
With our toothbrushes.
Right.
Because, yeah, I'll me and Marcus share the same toothbrushes. I don't really give a shit. I'll do whatever.
All right.
I've had worse in my mouth. I've eaten ass that hasn't been washed, okay? So,
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, you'll eat ass, you'll suck dick, you'll swallow cum, but share a toothbrush. Oh, my God, no!
Bruh. Nope. I literally just spit in your mouth last night while you were riding me. I'm sure your toothbrush is fine.
It's kind of like my husband, right? So, you know, we have sex.
Like my mom, on the other hand. My stepdad spit in her mouth, so fuck that shit.
Yeah.
No. My husband, different thing. Keynes, that's hot. Barely, that's hot.
But, like, my husband will, you know, we do all this stuff, and then he goes to the bathroom to take a shower, and he locks the door. I'm like, why did you lock the door? I'm the only one here. But he does that all the time. It's like, okay, you think I'm going to see something I've never seen before, or what? I'm just like, okay.
And then me and Marcus are sitting here, and one of us is taking a shit, and the other one comes in and makes out with the other one to say I love you and take off to work for the day.
Have you ever had a Blumpkin?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We need a little bit more fiber in our diet before we get that going, because they'll burn off your nose.
Yeah, a Blumpkin is when you are taking a shit and somebody's sucking your dick.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Got it.
That's not on the Wheel of Kink. I should have put that on the Wheel of Kink for later. Yeah.
You should have. Did you want to?
Well, no. We need to measure you, puppy.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Did you want to measure my cock? And then we can spin the Wheel of Cock Kink?
Oh, yes.
Sure. We can. And Dawson, did you come up with a sex position this week?
I did.
Okay.
And, it was a, like, oh, fuck moment because I was listening to the podcast and then all of a sudden I heard your sex position and then I realized
it's my turn.
Oh, shit. Keynes did his. Barely did yours the week before. I thought we were going to get the guest to do ones, but we didn't. Shit, it's my turn and I have nothing. Nothing. But I have a really good one and it involves 3 people. So stick around to the end of the show.
All right. So I have a suggestion, and let's do it this way. Let's do the Wheel of Kink. Let's do the sex position. Then we can wrap up the podcast and then do the measuring as a bonus. That way it's a standalone and I don't have to try to edit it out for YouTube. Make sense?
I like it.
All right. Okay.
This is why you're the director.
Yay. So I get paid the big bucks, man. I'll tell you what. So,
oh, yes.
The big bucks. All right. Here we go. Spinning the Wheel of Kink.
Put your hood up, Keynes.
Hentai.
Ooh. Huff.
All right. So you both went huff and ooh. So tell us what hentai is and why it's a kink.
So hentai, I don't necessarily know the definition, but I know what it is.
Basically, it's anime porn.
Yeah, so it's just, yeah.
So is
a lot that of would, it? So wouldn't that be more of a fetish than a kink?
It could be. I mean, unless you dress up.
Well,
as
I guess
them.
If you're cosplaying, yeah.
Yeah. So kind of like a furry con, having sex in your fursuit.
Right into the asshole.
It's like, I just spent $5,000 on a fursuit. Get cum all over it, please. Like, no.
Please,
how
no.
do those? We need to, that's what we need. Well, actually, you know what? I might have to look up another podcast for this. How do those motherfuckers clean? Like, do they just drop them off at a dry cleaner and then some little Asian man in Chinatown in yes. New York is like, oh shit, look at the fox today, thank you so much.
Yes.
And then come back in 3 days and then here we go. Like, those poor little guys.
Yep.
Just showing up after FurCon, just like 20,000 like deers and foxes and like, oh my god.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm gonna get canceled
one
day.
People do clean their suits themselves too. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people actually have two types of suits.
Yes.
They'll have their what they call them is
mercers, yes,
versus mersuiters, mm-hmm. or their normal fur suit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how like showy puppy them, is here right now.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So like how my hood is a show hood. I don't play in this hood, mm-hmm. but I have other ones that I will.
Keynes is normally very mysterious and he's all black, so you can't see him in the shadows.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So but hentai. Do either of you participate in hentai? Have you seen it? Have you done it? Have you talked about it?
Oh yes.
Say, okay.
I have definitely 100% watched hentai.
Okay. Now there's a
depending on if it is hentai. I don't know if it is or not, but it's animated porn, but it wouldn't be what I call anime.
Because hentai has got to be anime. It's got to come from the Orient, I believe, right?
Cuz
the rest is just cartoon porn.
Yeah, because, like, there's nothing hotter than watching Bart Simpson and Fry fuck the shit out of each other.
Okay.
While Leela watches.
Mm-hmm.
And once you actually
specific.
See how
big... That was very specific. Clearly we know what he watches.
I paid $15 a month just for that because the commercials finally fucking got me.
Nice. Nice.
There was also one where you can finally see how big Chris's dick actually was.
Oh, nice. All right, let's spin the wheel. Unless you want to tell us a little bit more about your Bart Simpson fetish.
Oh, it was it's more Fry. I'm more hooked on Fry. It's just the fact that it was Fry topping Bart and Fry's a ginger and
I like them
anyway,
gingers.
Huh? Do you have any Well, you said that you watch it, Keynes. Do you have a favorite genre?
So I love there's some furry porn, mm-hmm. that is drawn that has like more of a hentai feel to it. One of my favorites is like this space adventure that literally goes to this planet and as a like a distressed beacon and then is like turned off and then basically like they go and he's like, what's the emergency? And they're like, there is no emergency. And so he like investigates and then finds a huge tentacle porn monster that fucks his brains out and makes him come all a whole bunch of times. And then
for science,
he goes back and goes, oh, I need to go investigate that more.
I need to get a little more experience with this particular thing.
We did not find all the clues. I need to dust for fingerprints.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
But I do watch actual like hentai porn too.
Okay.
But mine would not be hentai porn. Mine would be cartoon porn. Yes. Because hentai porn is basically anything that's pertaining to the shub genre of Japanese,
mm-hmm.
anything Japanese basically. So.
Okay. All right. Let's spin the wheel again. See what we come up with. And it is. Ooh, this is not a good one at all.
It's scat play, isn't it?
No, it's emetophilia.
Oh, is that dead bodies?
No, that's vomit.
Oh.
Puke.
Vomit. Oh, so like two girls, one cup after they ate the cup.
Pretty. Yeah, there you go. Two girls, so one cup, everybody puking. Yes, there you go. So.
Or the Family Guy episode after they had the ipecac.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Or
after I ate that dinner and my husband shoved his dick down my throat and I puked all over his.
I am 100% not into
not
this.
Into this. Okay, no. I am not either.
I can tell you right now.
No. So
okay.
Yes. but wait.
Story time.
There's more.
Story time.
Not a story time. Just. An exception to the rule, because as we say on the show, even though we might not want to admit it, we'll try everything at least once within reason.
Okay.
And this is the within reason.
We'll watch you. How's that? No.
this is the within reason. Within reason.
Yeah.
So we'll try everything once within reason. I am not having you throw up on me.
No.
Well, we just win. To fucking con and had all of these vendors, and then we went to fucking Taco Bell right afterwards, right. And it's just this chunky oatmeal. No. I want you to be fasting for the last 2 days. I want you to drink nothing but vodka and alcohol seltzers, so that way when you throw up, it is nothing but clear liquid, and I could drink it again and at least get drunk and forget about this moment ever happening.
Yeah.
As long as it's like, but in all seriousness though, like if you were on an empty stomach and I knew that like you flushed out, you had some water, it flushed out to get basically the bile and the nasty shit out of there. And then you just basically drank a shit ton of water. So I knew what you're throwing up me was just basically the water you just downed.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be probably okay with that. But if you just came up to me out of nowhere, it's the same thing as like piss play, right? You're not going to let some random guy piss on you in the park at 9 a.m. when you know he just had a half a pot of coffee.
Okay, true.
I mean, you might want to, but like at the end of the day, for me, that smell ain't for me.
Or a bunch of asparagus half an hour ago.
Yeah. Like even for piss play, you prep a little bit. You make sure you're hydrated. You've had your liquids to make sure that like most of it's out. And even if it is colored, there's not.
Right.
Pungency, right? Yeah. So
if you really want to have fun with, if you want to have fun with piss play, like an hour before you go to, obviously weeks before, but you go to get a chemistry set, like a grade school chemistry set. And there's always
I thought this was going.
There's a little container of what they call cobalt blue, and it's a chemical. And you just put one little sand grain in a glass of water. When you pee, you will pee blue.
See, I can't do that because I couldn't do that to me just to try it, because this is the puppy that forgot that he asked for a red velvet cake for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all ate the red velvet cake. And then the next morning, I freaked the fuck out, and so did Marcus, because our shit was red as hell, and we thought we were bleeding, and we completely forgot that we had red velvet cake, like an entire red velvet cake between like three of us.
Right.
And then they were freaking out too, because we messaged them, be like, did you go to the bathroom yet this morning? Because mine and Marcus's poo's red, and we think that we ended up like messing something up. Is your poo red? Like, what's going on? She's like, oh my God, yes it is. And blah, blah, blah. Like, what should we do? And then all of a sudden I texted my mom. She's like, well, what did you have to eat yesterday? I'm like, this, and she's like, well, you had red velvet cake. I'm like,
oh yeah,
fuck, we did.
Yeah, that and beets will turn your poop red too. So the final wheel spin, here it goes, and the wheel of kink has given us wax. That's pretty fun.
Ooh, I love wax play.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorites, but I have to do it with someone that is like that knows what they're doing. So there's a difference between candle wax and body safe wax.
Yes. Yes.
Please do not do just a normal candle.
No, that wax is hotter and it doesn't cool as fast. Yes.
Correct. Please do not give yourself a 2-degree burn. Mm-hmm.
As we always say, never do what Dawson does.
Right. So, you can buy a set of 12 body candle wax or body wax candles at Amazon. I think they're like $6.99. and there's 12
they're
of them in
super
there.
Cheap.
Super cheap.
They're super cheap.
And the other thing you do with wax candles is you want to hold it about a foot over so that the wax actually cools more on the way down to sitting on the skin. So that's important too. Don't just hold it right over the skin and drop. You will give second degree burns to whoever you're doing it to, or yourself if you're doing it on your dick. You know, some people like that. So.
It does dry from the top down. So
what?
Yes. The wax dries from the top down. Yes. So it's going to keep hot at the bottom and then keep colder at the top. So
I used wax on my puppy this afternoon and I made the mistake of not telling him it was coming. So you need to let them know that it's happening because he was on his stomach and I was just going to put it on his ass. And I didn't tell him and I just did it and he went, ah! So it's like, oh, sorry. I forgot to tell you I was putting wax on your ass now. But of course, there was already handprints from my spanking his ass. And so his ass was already sensitive.
Was that
sensitive.
The first drip or was that like a second or third?
No, it was the first drip. So,
oh, okay. Well, that they didn't know.
Yeah, I should have said wax and let him know. And again,
wax on.
We talk about communication with your subs and with your partners all the time. And I totally spaced this off. So I was like, man, I apologize.
He communicated.
And then I kissed his ass to make it feel better. So, I mean, literally kissed his ass to make it feel better. So,
did your lips get stuck in the wax?
No.
Oh.
I wonder how many medical emergencies happen.
A lot.
That like are like, we can't talk.
A lot. I have a friend who's an emergency room doctor and he says, you would be surprised what we see. And I said, no, I really wouldn't. You know,
I've watched Trauma Life in the ER.
Yeah. I said, well, what's the strangest thing you've ever seen? He says, well, it was a guy that came in and he couldn't get hard. So his wife thought that one of those plastic chopsticks would help.
Oh my God.
And because his dick wasn't as big as the chopstick, she snapped it off at the tip of his dick. And then it just, it ruptured, it punctured his dick out the side when she tried to do that.
Holy crap. Yeah.
So I was like, no. I asked the doctor, I said, were they drunk? And he says, Oh yeah.
I'd hope so.
You hope so. Okay.
But they have number 42.
That hurts.
With
that
the
hurts. No.
Yeah. No.
That hurts my dick thinking about that. Yeah.
Okay, so Dawson, what's your sex position this time? And don't call it the chopstick. You can't steal my thunder.
It's not the chopstick. Okay. However, I feel like I'm gonna get called a wrestling nerd here.
Uh oh.
Oh, is it another
wrestling move? Okay.
Well, it's another wrestling move based off another wrestler.
Okay.
The most important part here, though, is that you need to do the action at the end. Okay. It doesn't matter how you get there.
Okay.
As long as you finish at the end.
Well, that's usually the case with sex, isn't it? I mean,
so, it's called a triple H.
Okay.
Because I want to be different. You know, if these guys ever watched wrestling back in the day, Triple H, when he comes out with his water bottle, right? And he drinks the water and he like sprays in his hair and stuff, comes out onto the thing. And then he like jumps onto the thing and then spits his hair back. And then like the water goes all over the place.
Right.
And he puts water in his mouth and goes up to the corner of the ring and then like spits the water like into the air. And then he like goes, right.
Okay.
So that's basically the move. So there's three of these guys. There's one guy that's on the bottom, who's getting their dick sucked. And then there would be, say, me or you or whoever, who's doing the dick sucking.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a guy above you who's jerking off, watching it all happen.
Mm-hmm.
So what typical three-way. So what ends up happening is the guy that's on his back comes into your mouth. And then what you do with that cum is you look up at the guy jerking off at you. And then you go, and you spit the cum into his mouth and face,
And then you turn around, and this is the most important part, guys, because you have to remember, this is the most important part, okay? You have to do the action.
Okay.
Because remember, you got to go like this, spit it in his mouth, and be like, it's all about the game and how you play it. And literally all three of you just start doing that, and you start dancing around the room. It's okay, a good way to end the scene.
Okay, so the three of us, when we get together, we're going to do that. We're going to do the Triple H.
Yes.
We'll put that on OnlyFans also. It's like... God. Oh my God. So I just noticed
for your next WWE.
I just noticed when I lifted my arms
next week.
Yeah, I noticed when I lifted my arms, the bottom of my arms look like they're darker, like I've got some disease, but it's just the lighting in here. So it's like it's just very strange.
It's just getting darker out.
It's just getting darker out. Yep. All right. Well, that kind of wraps up our show. You've been listening to Off Leash, a definitely not safe for work podcast about all things puppy and consensual puppy play. I've been Barely Normal.
And I have been Canes.
And I've been Dawson.
Off Leash is an Injured Nerves production and is available on all major podcast platforms. The podcast is produced and directed by Barely Normal. Thank you to our generous pup sponsors, Scout W, Astro Wolf, Dawson P, Reddy, Pup Feral, Rudy Pup, and Scout. We appreciate your support and donations.